So anyway, we're talking about mercy, and we have been defining mercy this way. Mercy is undeserved forgiveness, and it is also unearned kindness. It's undeserved forgiveness. It's unearned kindness. And last week, what we did is we looked at the first part of that definition, and we looked closely at the word forgiveness. Forgiveness. And last week's sermon, by the way, if you want to listen to it, it's online at our website. You can listen to the message. But the title of the message last week was How to Forgive. How to Forgive. And we talked about two ways that we go about forgiving. Number one, we pray for people who have hurt us. First step to forgiving somebody is pray for somebody. If they've hurt you, don't badmouth them. Don't make it ugly. Just begin to pray for them. And when you're praying for them, God begins to do something in you. And then we said this, we need to forgive as we have been forgiven. We've all been forgiven of our sins, of all the ugliness in our lives through the cross of Jesus. And now we're supposed to take what we have received from Christ and we're to give it to other people. So it's a powerful, powerful thing. By the way, we can't forgive on our own. We need help, don't we? We need the help of Jesus. We need the help of the Holy Spirit to say, hey, I can't do this. Will you help me to forgive that person, okay? So it's not natural. It's supernatural. Today, what I want to do is I want to look at kindness. Kindness. We're actually going to look at undeserved kindness. Think about that for a moment. Actually, unearned kindness. Think about that. Unearned kindness. Don't raise your hand, but have you ever been the recipient of unearned kindness? Somebody did something you didn't earn, and they showed you this gesture of kindness, unearned kindness. How did that make you feel? What kind of impact did that have on you? It's been very humbling in my life, but I have been the recipient of unearned kindness on several occasions. People have done very kind things for me that I did not earn. And I want to let you know it's very humbling. But also at the same time, each time that they have done those kind acts towards me, my eyes have been opened to the goodness and the love of God. It's a very powerful thing how God displays himself to us, oftentimes through the kindness of other people. Okay? So what I want to do today is I want you to take out your notes and I want to share with you a very popular story. Many of you probably have heard this story several times. Maybe you're here today and you've never heard that story. That's very, very exciting that this will be the first time that you can hear this story. And it's about a man who shared unearned kindness with one of the most unlikely people. With one of the most unlikely people. The story is found in Luke chapter 10. And we're going to look at verses 25 through 37. And I want you to listen very carefully to me right now. I just want to pray that your heart will be open, your mind will be open. I believe that God speaks through his word this morning. So what I want you to do is I want you to get out a pen or a pencil. And as we're reading through this passage and God possibly wants to speak to you today through his word, I want you to begin to, you know, highlight or underline things, write down thoughts that God drops into your mind as we read this passage. Because at the end of the passage, we're going to leave the application up to you, up to you. What is God saying to you? That's how we're going to close the sermon this morning with that question. What is God saying to you? Okay? So, Father, right now, let's just bow our heads. Let's quiet our hearts. Let's take a deep breath. God, I just ask that you'd be at work today as we open up your word, the Bible. Lord, I just ask that you'd speak to us today. Lord, I just pray that this would be just a real powerful moment in our lives this week, this moment right here. And God, we just ask that you'd be here today, that you'd speak to us. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts that we want to receive from you today. Prepare our hearts today for the word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. So take your notes. The passage we're going to read together, Luke chapter 10. It says, one day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life? Great question. What should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus replied in great wisdom with a question. What does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, with Scripture. He answered and he said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Beautiful. Check out Jesus' reply. Right. Exclamation mark. Right. Do this and you will live. The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, Well, who's my neighbor? So Jesus is such an amazing teacher. He replies with a story. We would call it today a parable. He tells this story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, which is a trip of about 17 miles. And on that trip, he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him up, and they left this guy half dead beside the road. Not a pretty picture. By chance, a priest, who would also be a fellow Jew, came along. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. Then there was a temple assistant, some translations say a Levite, which would also be another Jew, walked over and looked at the man lying there, but he also passed by on the other side of the road. So two Jewish men come upon a fellow Jew and they deliberately refuse to help. Let's stop in the passage and let me ask this question. How would you have responded? I don't know about you, it would have depended upon the day. If I were having a good day, maybe I would help. Maybe I was too busy, I didn't have time to help. How would you have responded? Then it says, Jesus goes on, he says, then a despised Samaritan. Everybody say that word, despised. Despised, meaning hated. There was hatred between Jews and Samaritans. A despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his donkey and he took the man to the inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper two silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits, Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him, everybody say this word together, mercy, unearned kindness. Then Jesus said, and he says this also to us today, yes, now go, and let's read the rest, and do the same. What I want to do today is I'm just going to share three observations with you from the reading. And those are observations are found on the back of your notes. So I would encourage you, please grab a pencil or a pen and fill in the blanks as we go along this morning. The reason why I do this is so you could pace yourself through the sermon, okay? He's only got this much further to go. We can hang in there. So I want to encourage you, please take notes. Three observations from the text this morning. Observation number one, I want to call the mandate. The mandate. Do you know what a mandate is? A mandate, according to the dictionary, is basically, it's an official order or commission to do something. It's an official order or commission to do something. And in this passage, we discover, and I want you to hear me very clearly. In this passage, we discover the mandate of every believer in Jesus. So if you're a believer here today, you said yes to Jesus, you repented of your sins, and you did a 180, and you trusted in Christ as the Savior. This mandate's for you. This mandate's for me. It's for us. It's for believers. It's for followers of Jesus. And the mandate is actually found in verse 27. But we need to remember the conversation. Remember, the guy begins the conversation, says, hey, good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life? What must I do to be accepted by God? Jesus masterfully responds with a question. What does the law of Moses say? And then what the man does, because he's a scholar in the Bible, this guy knew the Bible. He knew the law inside and out. So what he does is he responds to the question of Jesus by quoting a verse. And by the way, this verse is found in two different portions of the Old Testament. One is in Deuteronomy 6:5, and the other one is in Leviticus 19:18. And it's there that we find the mandate of all believers, of all followers of Jesus. And here it is. It's in your notes. Your mandate, my mandate, is we must love the Lord your God with all your heart, We must love God with all of our soul. We must love God with all of our strength and with all of our mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. If you haven't been around church circles, I want to let you know we refer to that commonly as what? The Great Commandment. That's the Great Commandment. There were probably over 600 different commandments, but when it was all condensed down to dummies for Christians, okay, this is it. Love God, love people. That's what it all boils down to. There's a lot of other things that happen in churches and in religion, but at the end of the day, it's all about this vertical relationship. We're to love God. We're to love God with everything we've got. We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. We're to love God more than anything. I'm to love God more than my mom and dad. I'm to love God more than I love Heather. I'm to love God more than I love my boys. I'm to love God more than I love some good food. You know what I'm talking about? When it's all said and done, when you boil it down to its finest form, we're to love God with everything we've got. And then Jesus goes on to say, now it's also horizontal. We're to be people who are radically in love with other people. Radically in love with other people. These two go together. We love God. We love people. So the mandate is simple. The mandate that you and I are called to is we are to love God and we're to love our neighbor, which simply means we're to love fellow people, human beings. That's the call. That's our mandate. And I want to let you know it's not easy, is it? Does anybody think it's easy? I didn't think so. But that's our mandate. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. Love God, love people. Let's move on to observation number two. And I want to call this the magnitude. Everybody write that down, magnitude. It's the magnitude of the mandate, magnitude. What's that word mean? It means great in size. It's the extent. I mean, this thing is big. This mandate that we're called to love God and love people is far-reaching. I mean, it is just really, really big what God is calling us to do. I want to let you know it's bigger than ourselves. We can't pull this off because I'm a good person. We can't pull this off by our own power. We need help. So here's what happens in a lot of us, including myself, is we like to take something that is really big, love God, love people, far-reaching, stretching, touching, everywhere. And what we like to do is we like to make it comfortable. And what we want to do is we want to limit it. We want to make it smaller. We want to make it so we can control it, where we can get our arms around it. So I'm going to love God, love people, but I'm going to do it the way that fits best for me. Does that make sense? I hope so. So what we do is we try to limit it in three ways, and you can fill these are in your notes. Three ways we try to limit this great mandate. And number one is we try to limit the who. The who. This is really good, by the way, the who. Everybody say who. Who. You guys sound like a bunch of owls, okay? Who. Listen carefully. I want to just really be straightforward with you. I don't know about you, but I think we're all the same. How many people have discovered that it's natural to love people that you like? Am I the only one? You guys are looking at me like, this guy needs a lot of help. He needs to go see a psychiatrist. Yeah, probably. But how many people find this to be true? It's easy to love people you like. The rest of you, I'm not worthy to be in your presence this morning. It's just amazing. I'm not worthy. Okay? It's easy to love people we identify with. It's easy to love people we have common interests. It's easy to love people that are just easy to be around. It's just easy. So what we try to do is we try to limit this love our neighbor to those people. I'll love people that are just like me. I'll love people that have the same ideas that I have. I'll love people who are the same religion that I am. I'll love people, yada, yada, yada. You know the story, okay? But here's the deal. The mandate is not just for certain people. The mandate is for anyone, everyone, everyone in need. Even the people, is everybody ready for this? Jesus is calling us to even love people who drive us crazy. Can you believe the audacity of Jesus? He's calling us to love people who are different than us. I remember when Heather and I first got married. Oh, it's just like yesterday. And we got this assignment, our first assignment in ministry. We went down to South Georgia. I mean, we were almost in Florida. We were deep in the South. And I want to let you know, how many people have ever lived in the South? Raise your hand. I want to let you know one thing. People in the South have not forgotten about the Civil War. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I didn't know what a Yankee was until I got down south. And that became my new name, Yankee. All those Yankees from Minnesota, Yankees. And I remember all the, what we would call them, the rebels. The rebels, they would be the people that had rebel flags, Confederate flags in the back of the window of their truck. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? They would have a big shotgun. And I mean, these people, they couldn't let go. They really, to be honest with you, they didn't think really highly of anybody that lived above the Mason-Dixon line. But how many people know we're called to love everybody? We're called to love everyone. Okay, listen, Viking fans. All the Viking fans, lean in. Lean in if you're a Viking fan. Viking fans, I'm going to give you a little lesson this morning. No. You don't even know what I'm going to say yet. Viking fans are called to love Packer fans. And vice versa. We're called to love people who are different. And I say that jokingly. We know that it's just sports and we love to have a good time with that. But here's one that I've noticed a lot in our culture today. Listen carefully. Listen very carefully. Democrats. Oh, Mike, don't go there. By the way, I'm operating in wisdom here this morning. I'm not leaving them out. Republicans. Politically minded people. Let's just put it in that category. How many people know we're called to love people who have a difference of opinion than we do? Can anybody say amen to that? Yes. I'm very concerned with what's going on in our culture today. Very concerned. And here's the deal. I expect that out in the world. I do. I expect that with people who don't know Jesus. That's just how they are supposed to act. But I tell you what. If you're a person that's a part of the kingdom of God, that's not how Jesus calls us to behave. Are you hearing me this morning? We're called to love people that we could say are difficult. They don't see things the way we see them, as though we're right all the time. Are you hearing me this morning? What we do is we take this great mandate that's big. It's all embracing. And it's all about loving God. It's all about loving people. And what we do is we want to shrink it down to make it Mike size, Nick size, Chad size. And I'm only going to love those people who see things the way I see things, behave the way I think. You know what I'm talking about this morning. I'm only going to love and reach out to that person if they see things the way I see things. Well, I don't see that as the way Jesus would want his followers to live. There's a lot of people that Jesus is calling Mike Bechtel to love. And I want to let you know, there's sometimes I don't even like them. Are you hearing me this morning? But Jesus is saying, Mike, the love that I have towards you, you are to have towards others. I want us to get that this morning. If we could just get that, we can go home right now. So does everybody got it? Well, a couple of you, you're not there yet, so we got to continue. Okay? We also try to make this small when we limit the when. Number two, the when. What do I mean by the when? Listen carefully. I'm not going to go real deep into this one, the when. I'll love another person when... Listen, everybody listen, because when they behave like I think they should, when we see eye to eye, when they act responsible, when they're trying to do the best for their life and try to make it, and I'll try, when we put all these whens, when they do this, when they do that, when they do this, that, or the other, when they do everything the way I think they should do it, when that all happens, then I'll love them. Do you know what I'm talking about this morning? There's a lot of times we don't want to reach out to people in need because the reality is, you know what? They haven't even helped themselves yet. If they would just be responsible, if they would behave like I think they would, then I'll reach out and then I'll love them when. See, I think back to our story this morning. This Samaritan could have came upon this Jewish man and said, hey, what are you doing? I mean, this road had a nickname called the Valley of Blood, because there was a lot of violence that took place on this road between Jerusalem and Jericho. And the guy could have said, hey, man, what are you doing traveling alone, man? That was dumb of you. Don't you have any common sense? I'm not going to help you. You couldn't help yourself. Do you see how we try to justify this? When? Here's the last one. I love this one. Well, I love them all. I don't love them, but God's convicted me of them all, okay? We try to limit the how much. Okay, God, I know the mandate. Love God, love people, but how much are you really wanting me to love people? Are you really wanting me to give money towards them? And Lord, how much do you want me to give to them? Is it going to make me uncomfortable, God? Do you want me to give till it becomes uncomfortable? God, how much do you really want me to give? I love the story. If you go back to the story, you think of this guy. Look at how much he gave. We're told he soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine. He bandaged him. So they're touching. Then he put the man on his donkey, meaning he provided transportation. And he took him to the inn, meaning he's providing shelter, where he took care of him medically. He took care of his medical needs. I mean, this guy went over the top. And he didn't stop there. He went to the innkeeper the next morning, and we're told he handed him 2 silver coins, which equaled what? 2 days of wages. Just think of you taking 2 days of your wages this week. You're probably going to work 5 days this week. What would it look like for you to give 2 days of your wages to help somebody in need, if that's what God was calling you to do? So this guy's going over the top, and he could have said, oh, okay, this is enough, Lord. How much? How much do you really want me to give? And I know we get nervous when we talk about money, so let's quit talking about money and let's talk about this. Time. Time. Everybody say time. I want to let you know we can even go this direction with time. How much time do you really want me to give towards that other person, Lord? How much time? I don't have a lot of time. I'm busy. My day is packed from the time I wake up. My day is packed till I go to bed at night. I don't have time to help that person in need. I don't have time to listen to somebody else tell their story. I don't have time for somebody else just to tell me of all the difficult things they're going through. I don't have time. I don't have time for that person. I got to make it to that appointment in 5 minutes. I don't have time. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? And a lot of times we limit this all-embracing, loving our neighbor because we're saying, God, how much? How much? God, really, how much? You know, I was thinking about this last night when I was over here by myself, just thinking about the message today. And, you know, a lot of us, we have a hard time giving money, and I understand that we work hard, but I want to let you know, if you give, God does great, amazing things. But I thought about this whole issue of time, just time. I can't tell you how many people there are that we're surrounded with every day that the greatest thing you could do is just give them 5 or 10 minutes. Are you hearing me? And you just sit there and you listen. You listen. I probably know 15 to 20 people that all they want from me, they don't want a single penny. All they want from me is, hey, let's go out so we can talk, which means, Mike, you listen and I'll talk. That's all they're looking for. How much, Lord? But how much? I don't have time for that, but how much? And what we try to do is we try to just limit. And we try to shrink down this great commandment to love God, to love people. We shrink it down by saying, Lord, I'll do it if it fits within my framework. Does that make sense? I'll do it if it fits within my parameters. I'll do it if it fits within my boundaries. But I think in this commandment, what Jesus is calling us to do when he's calling us to love our neighbor, he's calling us, hey, to meet the needs of people who need you to reach out to them. Amen? Just listen. Observation number 3, I think this is the most important part. It's called the motivation. We talked about the mandate is to love God, love people. It's so far reaching. Now we talk about the motivation. I want you to listen very carefully for the next 3 or 4 minutes. Where do we get motivation to really love people? God, where does that come from? God, does it come from deep within me? Where does the motivation come to love people to the extent that you want me to love? Where does that come from? Well, I think there's 2 primary places that this comes from. The first one is called guilt. Everybody say guilt. Guilt. I see a need, and I see that I have maybe what they need. I see that I have what would help and bless them. And a lot of times what happens, listen, we're motivated by guilt. Guilt. And what we do is we give because if we're guilty and we give, then we won't feel as bad. We won't feel as bad. But I want to let you know, that kind of motivation is only going to take you so far. Are you hearing me? It's only going to take you so far. It doesn't have the power to change a life. Guilt isn't the answer. That's not how we're to love people. The motivation can't be because I feel guilty. You better not leave here today, by the way, and say, oh, Mike talked about the mandate that we're called to love one another, and I feel guilty, so this week I'm going to try my best. Oh, God, I know I'm going to run into that person this week. It's inevitable. It happens every day. And God, I want to be a good church attender. I promise, Lord, give me the strength. And what you're going to do is you're going to muster up the guilt. How do I know? Because I'm a lot like you. I do the same things. I'm guilty. I want to let you know, by nature, I'm a very guilt-driven person. I do a lot of things out of guilt. How many people know that's not the motivation we're called to here? The motivation we're called to is, you can write in the line, number two, the gospel. The gospel. That's the motivation. That's what makes the difference. And where does that motivation come from? Because what you need to do is you need to go back to the story. And what you need to understand in the story, you need to understand who you are in the story. And you need to understand who Jesus is in the story. Because you have a part in this story, and Jesus has a big part in the story, okay? In the story, who do you think you are? Everybody's like, oh no, I feel guilty to say something. Who do you think you are in the story? Actually, there's a couple parts you can play. Of course, we're all called to be what? The Samaritan. But who else are we in this story? We're the Jewish guy. You remember the guy that was beat up, stripped, left for dead? We represent that person. We're all that guy. Spiritually speaking, you're all beat up, left for dead. The Bible would actually go as far as to say, spiritually, away from Jesus, we were what? Dead in our trespasses and our sins. We were dead. And then Jesus, he comes along, and he's the good Samaritan. And he comes and he sees us, and he does what? He rescues us. Are you hearing me? And how did he rescue us? He rescued us by dying on the cross. And he took care of all the needs that you and I had spiritually and even physically. He took care of everything. Jesus did that for us. And I want to let you know that when you receive a revelation of what Jesus has done for us, it's going to motivate you to naturally just to want to love other people. Are you hearing me this morning? So the motivation, oh, I got to love people. I got to be a good Christian. It's going to hurt this week. I got to do this. All these things we got to do. Every time I go to church, it's another thing stacked up on what I got to do. I'm getting sick of going there. It's another I got to do thing. Are you hearing me this morning? And you could say, add to the list. Now he's telling me I got to love people. I got to love my neighbor. I don't want to. And you can go and say, well, I'm going to do, and I'm going to be guilt driven. I don't think God wants us to be guilt driven. We need to be driven by the gospel. We need to be driven by the reality of what Jesus Christ has done for us. And when we have that revelation, by the way, when it goes from your head, because a lot of us, it's just in our head, and it's got to go down to our heart. And when it makes that long journey from our head to our heart of what Jesus Christ has done for us, it's just going to be natural. Actually, it's just going to be supernatural that we begin to love our neighbors. We begin to love the person we don't even like. Why? Because Jesus, you came and you rescued me when I was helpless and hopeless and I couldn't help myself. You came and look what you've done for me. And Lord, I'm going to have the opportunity to do that for somebody else today. My prayer for you today as you go out of this place is that the mandate goes from your head to your heart. My prayer for you is you don't limit it by just certain people, but you say, hey, I'm gonna let this thing be all, I mean, it's just going to be big. I'm going to let it be as big as it was intended to be. And my prayer for you today is that you have a revelation that, wow, God, you've done so much for me. May I just naturally want to do those things for other people. May I naturally say, yeah, I'll get involved with messed up people. God, I'll get involved with people who have needs. God, I'll get involved with people who hurt me. God, I'll be involved with people that maybe other people don't like or want to be around. God, you can count on me. I'll be there for that person. God, you can count on me that I'll be different, that I'll reach out to the guy that's at the side of the road is in need. God, because you've done so much for me, it's just I want to do this for others because I serve God by doing what? Serving other people. Are you hearing me this morning? Okay? And I heard a great sermon this week as we close this morning. I heard a great sermon this week from a very intellectual individual talking about this same story that we read this morning. And he shared a spin on this story that I've never heard before. And I think it's he's right on, because how many people know there can be more than one interpretation to a parable, okay? And what he said is this, and I want us as a church, and this is, I'm speaking to us as a church family. He says in the story, Jesus is the Good Samaritan, just like I just said. He's the Good Samaritan. And he comes around and he helps people that are in need, broken, spiritually broken, life is messed up. Jesus comes and he rescues. And what does he do? He takes him to the what? Takes him where? The inn. How many people know where the inn is? The church. The church is the inn. And Jesus, he saves people and he delivers people and he does a wonderful work, and he brings them all to where? He brings them to the inn. He brings them to the church. And it's here at the church that we have this mandate to help people, to see them along in their hurts, to see them along in their bad habits and hang-ups. It's to the church where people should come to get healing. And my heart this week has been this. May we be a church that we can be faithful. May we be a church that Jesus, yes, you can send people our way. Jesus, yes, you can send the people from all over River Falls. God, you can send the people that are even going on hard times. God, you can send the people here. Lord, my heart is, Lord, may we be a church that's faithful. May we be good innkeepers. God, may we be faithful to, may we be able to be entrusted to the people that you send our way. So my thought this week is, if you're here today and you're hurting, and you're here today and you feel like you've been beat up, I want to let you know you're in the right place. You're in a place where you can receive healing. And it's not because of who we are, it's who we represent, and it's Jesus Christ. Amen? And I want to let you know, if you're hurting today, you're in the best place you can possibly be. People aren't going to talk bad about you. People aren't going to say, well, we'll love you when you get up to our standard. No, 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 no. That's why I love Wednesday nights, when I see those kids run off the bus, when I see kids run off the van, and I see a bunch of basically just little kids running all over the place, and they're coming from very hurting homes. A lot of these homes where there's maybe one parent, and it's just unsupervised, it's chaos, and they come here, and I say, Lord, we want to be an inn where you can trust people to come. And God, when these kids come, we're going to love on them, and we're going to hug them. We're going to feed them a meal on a Wednesday night. We fed about 63 people this last Wednesday night. This is an inn. And it's not just for these kids, it's for you. Because I know we grow up, but we also grow up and we still have hurts. This is the place where we hope that you can come and be soothed and you can be brought back to spiritual health. I want this to be a good inn. Amen? So if you're ever praying for us as Lord, if you're prayerful for our church, just pray, God, help us to be faithful. Help us to be faithful with the people that you bring our way. God, help us to be faithful with the kids you bring our way. Help us to be Jesus with hands and feet. Help us to be a church that loves people, loves these kids, loves the high schoolers, loves the college kids, loves everyone that comes in here. We want to be all embracing, all inclusive. Amen? We want to be a good inn. Also, there's some people here today, category number two, you're healthy. You're healthy spiritually. You're healthy mentally, emotionally. I want to speak to you today. You, we need you. We need you. We need you to help out around the inn. We need you to help with the people God brings our way. Because I really believe we haven't seen nearly what God wants to do in this house. And we need people. We need mature believers who are not just feeding on the milk of God's word, but they're eating the meat of God's word. There's a maturity in your life. We need you to get engaged. We need you to contribute financially. We need you to contribute and volunteer. We need you to be engaged with what God's doing in this house. It's time for you to stop being on the bench. It's time for you to get in the game. Somebody said a football game is like this. It's 22 guys out on the field, and they're just they're work, 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 and they're desperately in need of rest. And then there's 50,000 people in the stands who are watching, 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 criticizing, criticizing, and they're desperately in need of what? Exercise. Folks, it's time that we get in the game. Every one of us, get in the game. If you're needing healing, we want to be there for you. If you've been healed and God's doing some new things and you have a lot to offer, it's time for everyone to get engaged with what God wants to do in the house, in the inn, as he brings people our way. Amen? Are you glad you came to church this morning? Let's bow our heads. If you're hurting today, I'm going to pray for you. Father, I just pray for those who are hurting today. Maybe it's a broken marriage. Maybe it's just the pain of life. It's just been overbearing. And God, they may feel like, I don't know if I can make it through another day. There's people in this room today, Father, that when they look at you, they think, God, you disappointed me. God, I expected this, and this is what I've got. God, where are you? And God, I pray for those people today. God, I pray that people in this room would have a revelation of the beauty, the love of Jesus. God, I pray that we'll throw all religion and all rules out the window. And God, I pray that we would be consumed with loving you and loving people. And God, I pray that you'll set people free. I pray and declare that in this house, this will be a church where people can be saved, people can be delivered, and people can be healed in the name of Jesus. And God, I just pray, God, for those who are whole and healthy and they're engaged in life and they're saying, wow, God, you have been so good to me. Lord, I pray that those in that group would say, you know what? I'm not going to just sit in the stands and yell at the people on the field. I'm going to get in the game. I'm going to get engaged. I'm going to give of resources. I'm going to give of time. I'll even sit in a class on a Wednesday night and with screaming kids. What do you want me to do, God? And Father, I pray that this would be a church, that we would be good innkeepers, that we would be good innkeepers. Help us to be good innkeepers, Lord. When you bring people our way, when you bring people our way, Lord, may we not just be satisfied with shaking their hands and patting them on the back, but God, may we do what we can do to really help people for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everyone together said, amen. Amen. Amen.